is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of my favorite guys. I don't know if you know that name. I hope you do. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor that lived during Nazi Germany. And he stood for what was right, one of the few pastors that did. And he's got some incredible, insightful writings. And this is what he said about marriage. This is what he said, I believe, at a wedding. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once offered a famous piece of advice to a young couple on their wedding day. He said, today you are young and very much in love, and you think that your love can sustain your marriage. It can't. Let your marriage sustain your love. Do you understand what he's saying? We're going to talk about it today. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney. And we're turning to God's Word to find out what would take our marriages from barely alive to beginning to thrive. More than just survive. It feels like, this is what's been missing. This is what we were called to be and do. And you begin to taste and say, this really is good. This is good. It's not perfect, but it's good. At the heart of it is that we've got to unlearn what the world has laid on us, that we pick up like a magnet with metal filaments. You realize by the time you say, I do, you have watched so many movies. You have listened to so many hit songs about love. You have read so many blogs. You've encountered so many commercials and billboards that whether you realize it or not, you've gone to school on this subject of love, and you've got it all wrong. To learn what God says, you've got to strip away and unlearn what has been laid on us that we've just picked up all through life. And what Dietrich is touching on is at the heart of it. Marriage is a commitment that keeps love alive. We live in a culture that says, love is the only reason that marriage should survive or stay alive. And as soon as you don't feel it, I mean feel it off the charts, walk away, hit the exit door because love is gone. You do not get that from the Bible. Listen to it again. He said to them, today you are young and very much in love. I doubt any of you listening said, on the day of my marriage, I wasn't in love. I had no feelings for them, but I went ahead with it. That's almost never the case. You were in love. What you're struggling with now is what happened? He says, you're in love and you think that your love can sustain your marriage. It can't. Your marriage should sustain your love. And he got that from the Bible. That's why the Bible says that marriage is a covenant. It's a covenant. You make a commitment and then you ride it out, the highs and the lows. And it's your commitment. We talked in an earlier show about roots, simple roots growing underground towards each other in all those ordinary middle years. As you raise kids and haul people to sporting events and shop for groceries and cook and clean the kitchen and figure out how you're going to take care of something that's broken and drop the car off to get it repaired. And that's real life. It's in those ordinary years that don't look spectacular, don't seem flashy, that real love grows on the basis of commitment. And I hope you're not hearing, wow, Brad, are you just saying stay committed to the glory of God, even though you never have a feeling? Nope, not what I said. Because guess what? Feelings grow in the midst of consistent, ordinary commitment that chooses to love each other Because the list that we've been looking at in 1 Corinthians 13, do you realize it's something you can choose to do? That has nothing to do with feelings. Love is patient. That's a choice. It's not a feeling. Love is not rude. That's a choice, not a feeling. Love is not arrogant. That's a choice. It's a choice. These are actions. I'm going to choose how I relate to you. Love keeps no record of wrong. That's a choice. That I'm not going to dwell on what you did wrong, where you disappointed me, how I think you failed me. Basically, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7 is a list of life-changing, marriage-enhancing choices. Every day you make a choice. Every day you make a choice and I make a choice as to whether or not we're going to love our spouse, because that's what it looks like. It's not tied to feelings. The human race has been totally confused. So the way I'm talking to you is not the way the world talks or thinks. The human race has been totally confused about true love for hundreds of years. And so everyone is looking for some helpful insight to guide them in their real quest for love. It is something that people long for and hunger for and seek after and even get super excited when they think they've found it. But it seems like they lose it over and over again. I saw a magazine article that was titled, "That Magic Moment." And that's a problem right there when we talk that way. Magic moments will never keep a marriage alive for decades. That's called infatuation. But this article was titled "That Magic Moment," and the article quoted 7 different celebrities who recall, quote, the instant they fell truly, madly, deeply in love. So that's what everyone thinks. And then they try to match their circumstances with that story and say, do I have that? Do I have that? I guess that's what I'm looking for. And all of the comments in this article were characterized best by one from Nicole Kidman, who at that time was in a relationship with Tom Cruise. And she said this, quote, Tom was the sexiest man I'd ever seen in my life, worth having a fantasy about. I thought, wow, I have finally met the person I've been looking for. Now I'm addicted to Tom. He's my drug. I adore him, end quote. Well, guess what? If you know anything about Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise, they are no longer married. In fact, their marriage only lasted 10 years. That's what addiction can do for you. Addiction won't make it last for decades. In fact, you don't want your spouse to be your drug, because drugs come and go. You'll always need more. Think about it. That's what gets people in trouble. That's why addicts become addicts. The thing that pleased me and gave me a feeling like I'd never had before does not continue to please me. I need more. And as they take more of whatever it was, they end up in a place where there is no satisfaction. In fact, there's only now addiction. I want it and it never satisfies, but I keep turning to it and it destroys me. It's not about sexiest man alive. It's not about he's my drug or she's my drug. It's about a choice to choose actions that the Bible tells us are actions of love, and then to do it over and over and over, day after day, in the midst of ordinary middle years. Ordinary middle years. Oh, listen to me. Biblical love, or real love, according to God's word, is made of sturdier stuff than addiction and what celebrities talk about. Let me give you 2 marks of biblical, real love. Here's the first that you see in the scriptures. Real love is giving rather than taking. I've been saying it throughout these shows over and over. Agape love is giving to the needs of another, having their best interest in mind. I want to do what would be best for them, expecting nothing in return. And you see this in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us what kind of love we are most guilty of. And it is not the kind of love that God calls us to. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 2 says, "For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power." Love is talked about three times, and none of it is focused where it should be. He says they'll be lovers of themselves. Do we have people today that are all about loving themselves? Whew. And we got a culture that tells you it's right. That's what you should be all about, loving yourself. You did not get that from the Bible. And it is not a path that will lead towards happiness and cause you to thrive. And it certainly will not help you keep a marriage alive. You bring two people together that are both focused on loving themselves and trying to get the other person to do the same. The sooner you start loving me like I love me, we'll have a good marriage. Whew. Lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. See, once again, real love only begins as you tap into and experience the love of God. We're going to take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk some more about what characterizes real love.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad in just a moment. But before we do, I want you to sit with what he just said for just a moment, that commitment is what sustains love, not the other way around. Honestly, doesn't that cut against everything we've ever been told? And maybe you're listening and you're thinking, okay, yeah, that sounds good in theory, but what about when it's Tuesday, nothing feels magical? You're both tired. Somebody forgot to take out the trash. Probably me. Anyway, Pastor Brad, what he's not saying is to fake your feelings. He's not asking you to fake feelings. He's pointing you towards something that actually works when feelings come and go. That's what he's talking about today. So sit with that for just a few minutes and let me tell you about Fortis Institute. Man, we have been doing this for over 25 years. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, and now as Fortis Institute. In our heart, all that hasn't changed. We want to equip you with truth that actually helps when life gets ordinary and hard. And if what Pastor Brad is sharing today is hitting home for you, and I think if you've been married over 15 minutes, it should, then I want to encourage you to check out Fortis Plus. Completely free, and it's designed exactly for moments like this, when you need biblical wisdom that's practical and that's real. We load 7 new pieces of content every single day, plus hundreds of hours of content that's already there. There's no subscription, no paywall, no catches, just truth when you need it the most. You can find out more at fortisplus.org, or you can download the app wherever you download apps at. Wherever that's a common thing for you, just go and search Fortis Plus. And hey, if this kind of content is making a difference in your marriage, would you consider standing with us? We don't have big corporate sponsors. We just have people like you who believe this stuff matters. Now, your local church, that comes first, as always. But if you're faithfully giving there and you have room to partner with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be honored to lock arms with you. You can learn more right now at fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Pastor Brad Bigney as he continues to unpack what real love looks like when it chooses to stick around. This is Thrive. To thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
We're talking about real love that would keep your marriage more than just alive, but would move it towards beginning to thrive. And one of the marks that you see in God's word that characterizes this kind of biblical love is that it's focused on giving more than taking. Oh, the world wakes up, does it not, asking, how can I get love? How can I get love? But biblical love says, how can I give love? Biblical love is not self-focused. It's focused on others. Your attention is directed to the needs of others rather than assessing how much is coming your way. And that's why so many verses in the Bible, you start noticing as you read your Bible, and I hope you do read your Bible, notice how many times you'll find love and love, give, coupled together in the same passage. Let me give you some examples. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That's how we know he loves us. He gave himself for us. John 3:16, there's a verse probably every single one of you listening knows. "For God so loved the world." How do we know he loved us? That he, say it, gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love gave. Ephesians 5:25. Way back at the beginning of our shows, we dug into Ephesians 5:25 that says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church." How did he love the church? "And gave himself for it." Love is not a feeling first and foremost. Love is manifested through giving. Real agape, keep your marriage alive and beginning to thrive love is manifested through giving. So that's where you have to begin. You have to learn how to give. And it's more than words. Biblical love is action. Even think about the passage we've gone into so many times in the recent shows, 1 Corinthians 13, telling us what love is. It's a list of actions. Verses 4 to 7 in 1 Corinthians 13 are a list of actions. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love is not irritable. Those are choices and actions. In other words, biblical love gets you moving and doing good for the loved one. That's why 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." I'm going to pick on a certain gender right now. Guys, if you're listening, one of the top complaints of women and wives about their husbands, they're not sure he loves them. "I'm not sure he loves me. I'm not sure he loves me." And the favorite response from men is to simply say, "I told you I loved you. I've said it recently." Problem, you guys, when they don't see you get up out of your chair and serve, when they don't see love in action, they question whether love is in their home at all. Love has to be more than words that you say. Real love gets busy. It's moving. It has actions associated with it. "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." That's how the Apostle Paul loved even difficult people that did not love him back. You say, "But what if I don't get love back?" Yeah, what if? It happens. It happened to the Apostle Paul. If you know anything about the Apostle Paul, then you know he wrote 12 or 13 letters of the New Testament. And his most personal, heartfelt, lay it on the line, I'm putting my heart out there book is 2 Corinthians, his second letter to the church at Corinth, where he just pours out his heart and says, "I have laid my heart on the line, even though you have not loved me back." It stung. It hurt. But he did not stop loving them. That's the kind of love that God calls us to put into practice in our marriage. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:15. "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved." I want you to think about that phrase. I will gladly spend and be spent. He's not talking about money because the Apostle Paul had almost none of that. He's talking about love. He's talking about something that, believe it or not, is even harder to give when you're not getting it back. Yourself. Yourself. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. So let me ask you, think about, not when is the last time you said to your spouse, you know I love you. When is the last time they saw love in action and it cost you? They could tell, he was tired, she was tired. They didn't want to do that. They did that for me. They were thinking of me. One of the things that has just sweetened our marriage and taken us to a place where we absolutely were not in the early years is this right here. We're willing to spend and be spent for each other. And again, I'm not talking about money. We actually spend very little money on each other. Gifts is not the main thing we do. It's real stuff in real time where I know that costs Vicky to actually do that for me. She was thinking of me. She knows that's special to me. She was helping me out. And when I do the same for her, and she knows he did that for me, that's special for me. Listen, that's when your spouse begins to settle in and say, I think she loves me. I think he loves me. Are you willing to spend and be spent of yourself? You give of yourself. You do what inconveniences you. Paul knew what it was like to give and love and not receive that same love back, but he gave anyway. He loved anyway. So how are you going to be able to give this kind of love? Where will you get it if you're not getting it back from your spouse, especially, and you're not expecting it? You don't have your hand out. Well, you can only get this kind of love from God. That's why John says in 1 John chapter 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us. So how do we know that God loves us? Listen to it. That God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There it is again. I keep bringing it out to you that the scripture continually points vertically and then horizontally. It points vertically and says, look at how God loves you. Look at what God did for you. Look how he gave his only begotten Son. Now, if God loves you like that, I'm calling you to love your spouse in the same way. Take that vertical love that God is pouring out on you and bend it out, extend it horizontally to your spouse in real time. Love is an action verb. It is not just a feeling. Our world has turned it into a feeling, nothing but a feeling, nothing but a feeling. If I feel it, I stay with you. If I don't, I'm out. When you look at God's word tells us, oh, love is first and foremost a sacrificial action, a commitment to do good for the other. And Paul knows that this is not natural to us. And so he continually prayed for the believers. He knew what they needed most. He prayed constantly. If you read the New Testament, you'll see and track with the prayers of Paul. You will see how often he prays for more love. I know you don't have it. I'm going to pray for you for more love. Listen to his prayer in Ephesians 3, verse 16 to 19. That I pray that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Until you know and are overwhelmed by and shattered by and delighting in the love of Christ for you, you'll struggle to extend real love to your spouse. Oh, getting a hold of God's love for us in His Son would put us on a brand new path as to how we relate to each other. Love is an action verb that starts with patience, kindness, and extends mercy.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.